Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue looking at John's Last Supper Discourse, John 13 through 17, just dimensions of it, and looking at it from a particular perspective, the perspective of seeing that in it, Jesus is preparing the apostles for what they're about to go through, and he's helping them understand so that they have confidence and that they're looking for the resource that he's going to provide for them in the Holy Spirit, that he's going to continue to be with them in a different way than he is at that moment. He's going to be with them in the power of the Spirit. And this is a good thing. This is a really good thing, because Jesus describes in John's gospel, he said, I'm not going to be with you much longer, but I'm going to go and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, to you. And the idea, of course, for the apostles that Jesus is leaving is like not a good idea from their perspective. In fact, he's kind of rocking their world. They were assuming that his messianic fulfillment would include basically overthrowing the Romans and establishing Israel and returning Israel to glory, and that he would reign and lead and they would be right there with him. And they didn't fully grasp the kingdom dimension, the eternal kingdom that Jesus is talking about, and his ultimate eternal destiny as Messiah and establishing the kingdom of God that will last forever. But the idea of being separated from Jesus rocked their world. And so he's saying to them, yes, this is going to upset you. He does in John 16, for example. He said, in a little while, you will see me no more. Again, in a little while, you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, what is that, he says to us? A little while, you will not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me because I go to the Father. They said, what does that mean, a little while? Really good questions, very practical men. We do not know what it means. And Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is this what you were asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Like the woman in labor, as I read a few minutes ago. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. So he's going away. He's going to Calvary. He's going to be dead and buried, and he'll rise again. They'll see him again. They'll be sorrowful. They'll weep as they did. Peter wept bitterly, right, because of what happened on Good Friday, Holy Thursday night. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So Jesus is telling them the difficulty they're going to run into. He's letting them know that it's temporary, that there's a shift happening where he wants them now to ask things from the Father in the name of Jesus. And that in his name, because all authority in heaven and earth belong to him, Jesus is the head of the new race of people. Jesus is the provision that the Father is giving to us. Jesus is building this kingdom. He's leading it. He's faithful to all his disciples, all his apostles. And so he's turning their gaze. So there's the reality they're going to not see him for a short period of time. But then when he rises again and he'll prepare them for this, that he's going to go away and send the Holy Spirit. And that's a good thing, because the Holy Spirit is able to give to the apostles the kind of thing we've been talking about the last few days. And what Jesus is doing is he's bringing them into a very key theme in John's gospel here, that they are going to be men, people filled with the Holy Spirit. Who was Jesus? Jesus was a man. He was the God-man, of course, but he was filled with the Spirit. He said that when he was baptized in the Jordan, he came forward and there was the the revelation of the Father's voice and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus goes forward, enters spiritual combat against the enemy in the desert. He goes home to Nazareth after driving the enemy away. And he reads from the Isaiah scroll that describes him as the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, of the Messiah. And the Messiah, he's the one who will be filled with the Spirit. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And you see again and again, especially in Luke's gospel, the Spirit led Jesus to the desert. The Spirit led Jesus to Galilee. The Spirit led Jesus. And then what you see in the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles from the day of Pentecost is the Spirit led them. The Spirit spoke to them. The Spirit gave a vision to Cornelius, you know, spoke to Cornelius, and St. Peter had a vision of the Lord, and they came together, and the Holy Spirit's orchestrating, and these people become men and women moved by the Spirit of God, who now dwells in them as in a temple. Jesus is transferring what is his to us. It's part of what it means to be born again by water and the Spirit, to live a new life in the Holy Spirit. And then what that means is we've got new power in us now. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The power that raised Jesus from the dead's in you. It's in me. And that power is a different power than the powers of the world. It's eternal in its duration, and it's filled with the very life. It is the life of God in us. And so what the Spirit is doing is helping us come into the very experience Jesus had when he was on earth. That is, teach us how to relate to God as our Father. The Holy Spirit comes to reveal to us Jesus' victory, his resurrection, his ascension, his lordship, his kingship, to help us see, like the apostles caught glimpses, like Paul on the road to Damascus. The Holy Spirit wants to give us conviction about who the Lord is, and that his teaching is absolutely true. John will say, you know, that at another point, around the transfiguration to that whole reality, that the Spirit will reveal the truth about sin, the truth about judgment, right? The truth about the kingdom, basically vindicating everything that the Lord has said and did. The Holy Spirit will confirm. The Holy Spirit will help us love one another. He'll help us overcome trials. And the big thing, though, as I mentioned, is he'll help us relate to God as our Father. Jesus came to reveal the Father. And Jesus is revealed as the Son of the Father. Jesus gives us what belongs to him. And so it's helpful to see this, friends, so that we can begin to see our own lives and the whole reality of the Christian experience as more than just kind of a drudgery of moral striving and fulfilling duties and paying attention to commandments and things like that. I mean, we have duties. Commandments are a gift to us from God, but the centerpiece of the Christian life, the emotive power in the Christian life, is the presence of the Spirit of God dwelling in each one of us. And it really does give us whatever we need. The Holy Spirit's presence, the person of the Spirit in us, helping lead us into what Jesus experienced, what he saw, what he felt, the heart of Jesus, the convictions of Jesus, the passions of Jesus, the priorities of Jesus. These are the things that he works in us. That's why Paul will say in Galatians, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God, who died for me. That's the normal Christian life. It's not like, okay, I've been given the Holy Spirit so I can run off and be my own creator, my own designer, my own this, that, and the other thing, and be preoccupied. No, there's the amazing thing, and it sounds like a contradiction of some kind, but it's the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of the cross. The power and the wisdom of God is revealed in the cross of Jesus Christ. What's revealed there in that wisdom is that Jesus knew when he went to the cross, first of all, that he was in communion and union with the Father. He knew that his offering on the cross was an act of love. It was a yes. It was an obeying the commandments of God. So then we find Jesus praying in John 14, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is a man under authority. That's why he loved these soldiers who just lined up and said, if you say it, Lord, it will happen. Why? Because you are in charge. You have real authority, and I believe you. And so Jesus said, I don't speak on my own, but I speak in my own authority. So Jesus was a man under the authority of the Father. Who are you? You're a man or you're a woman under the authority of God, your Father. He said, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So the Father, in the presence of the Spirit, in the reality of the Spirit, you become a temple of God. And then just as with Jesus, the Father who dwells in you wants to do the works through you. That's why you don't preach with power. I can't preach with power. I can't perform miracles. I don't do it. God does it in people. Acts of radical love and abandoning of our lives and the kinds of things Jesus calls us to. He knows that he calls us to it with great confidence because he's walked it. He's experienced it. He received it from the Father. He's the model. He's now saying, look, do what I did. And the relationship I'm bringing you into, there's a power and a life in you. Now I'm going to unfold. It's my life being lived in you. And my Father's going to do these works and even greater works through you. This is something that's really important, internalized, friends, because too often, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Christian life, Catholic life for so many people is a kind of just a kind of a labor of works and duties that we're supposed to do. And we live like deists, like the Lord kind of put the plan out there and then wound us up and said, okay, go. And we're just kind of marching through life like the Energizer Bunny, checking off things and getting things done. That's not really how it works. Duties matter. Commandments matter. God's will matters. No question about it. But it comes from the capacity to grasp it, see it for what it is, to walk in it fruitfully, comes from God's life in us. And for that to happen, Jesus said, you have to abide in me. I'm not just giving you a set of external commands. I'm not just giving you a book. I'm giving you a new life in my Spirit, and I want you to walk in my Spirit. I want you to do the things I did. I want you to experience the amazing experience I had on earth, living in, with, and from my Father and my relationship with him. That's my gift to you. That's what the Christian life is. And my Father's going to lead you to build the kingdom through the Spirit, to build the kingdom that I am the Lord of, that all authority belongs to me. You not only are building a kingdom, but this kingdom, this people is a bride. You are being made by my Father into an offering of love and total surrender to me, to Jesus, toward a prepared bride to live with me forever, one who looks like me, human beings that are alive in the Spirit, human beings who are born again, are new creations, and are living by the life of Christ himself who conquered sin and death. So it's very important for us to see the work of the Spirit in us, and if we pay attention, we take it seriously, we're going to start to have the mind of Christ, the thoughts, the heart, the feelings that are in the heart of Jesus, what he values, what moving of his will, what he says, what he does, the works he does. We're going to start to see those things, desire those things, walk in those things if we receive the grace he's giving us in the Spirit attentively, valuing it appropriately, walking in it in companionship with the Holy Spirit so the Lord, the Spirit, can produce the fruits in our lives. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.